You can listen to Dr. Green each Sunday morning here on KWPC between 8:30 and 9 for interesting discussions about God. And now, here's Dr. Green.
Good morning and welcome to God Talk. Today we're going to talk about how you pray the Scriptures. Well, Scripture is meant to be prayed, not just read. You can open yourself to the inspired words of God and let them address you. You can, and you actually really need to respond to Scripture so as to enter into a kind of a dialogue with God through the medium of the Bible. Now, praying the Scriptures has been going on daily, intensely, for more than 1,500 years in monastic communities all across the world. Praying the Scriptures is an immensely popular and effective way to get into touch with God and to give God the opportunity to get into touch with you. The process of praying the Scriptures is, as I say, time-honored. Folks, this has been worked out for centuries. And it consists of four essential steps or stages. Note that these stages are more cyclical than linear. That is to say, you can and you will find yourself going back and forth during a session of praying the Scriptures, which, by the way, is done individually, and it's also done wonderfully in groups, in small groups. I have had great times praying the Scriptures together with other persons. Now, here's the process, the four steps. Let me just name them, then I'll say something about each. Reading, meditating, praying, and contemplating. Reading, meditation, prayer, contemplation. Okay. So first, hopefully not too long a passage, and we're going to be doing this later in this segment, we're going to actually read some Scripture and seek to pray that. Anyway, you read a passage, again, not too many verses. Could even be one verse. Maybe even reading it aloud, should you be in a place where you can do so. Truly listen and seek to become fully present to that text. What is the text saying? What's it actually saying? Read it again. After a brief break, to let the first reading sink in. You may repeat reading the text a few times over the course of a few minutes, if and as it feels right to do so. Trust your heart here. Second is meditation. This is when you reflect, you ruminate, you chew, you meditate on something that grabs you. What verse or verses of the text especially grab you? You know, not just what is the text saying, but what is it saying to you? What does it mean to you at that very moment in your life? Third is prayer. That's when you react to God. You pray. What does your heart want to say to God on the basis of what the text says and what it says to you? What do you want to say to God? The prayer stage also includes your waiting on the Lord, waiting for any sense of God's response or presence. It's one thing we don't really do very well is learn how to wait upon the Lord as the Psalms teach us. Okay, fourth, last but certainly not least is contemplation. And this is when you actually receive God's response, sense God's presence, when you can somehow let go and just let God. What is God doing in and with you? It might simply be a calming sense of God's presence or a peace-bringing resting in God's Spirit, gently. To enter fully into contemplation, you must first consent to God's presence and action within you. As the ancients were asked, "Where is God?" The answer, God is wherever we let God in. Now, to better understand this fourfold process of praying the scriptures, I'll use an analogy, my favorite analogy, of ordering food at a restaurant. This is so beautiful. Okay, you go to a restaurant, whether you're alone or with friends. Why? Well, you know, socialize, but because ideally you're hungry, you have a hunger, you want to go eat. Just as in reading the scriptures, hopefully, you have a desire for God, for the sense of God's presence, for the food of the Spirit. So how do you order off a menu? You utilize the same four steps. Assuming, of course, you're not going into a restaurant knowing already what you are going to order because you've ordered it already. So I won't name the restaurant here in town that whenever I go in, I'm going to get the same thing because I love that. Okay. First, you read the menu, right? You're handed the menu. You have to read it. What's on it? What's there? What's available? My friends and I went out a couple weeks ago to a restaurant, and it was Saturday, about 12:30, and I ordered a hamburger, and the wait person came back and said, "I'm sorry, we're temporarily out of hamburgers." What a disappointment, but I lived through it. Okay, first you read what's on the menu. Second, as soon as something, like for me, a hamburger, what kind of cheese do I want? As soon as you find something that interests you, you begin to ruminate, meditate on how it might taste, how you want it fixed, whether that speaks to you the most at that given moment. You got it? Third, you have to have a brief conversation with the wait person in order to order that item. So I'll say, you know, can you do a hamburger? Can it be medium rare? Some places will actually cook it that way. Others will not. But there's an example where you're discussing with the wait person what it is you're seeking. Finally, fourth, contemplation. Of course, you wait after prayer, right? You're waiting. In contemplation, you finally get the food. The food arrives. I can begin by maybe eating some onion rings or French fries before I pick up that hamburger. You begin to ingest. And you can ingest God. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, the psalmist says. So this really comes down to four essential questions that you need to ask in order to pray a particular biblical passage. Four, what does the text say? Second, what does the text say to me? Third, what do I want to say to God? And fourth, what does God want to say to me? You got that? Keeping it simple. Well, then we're going to pray together, go through this. Psalm 23, the greatest of all, most popular at least, I won't say the greatest, but the most popular of all 150 Psalms. It is a psalm attributed to David, who, of course, early in his life was a shepherd. Psalm 23 is personal. It's faith building, and it is ever so assuring. You know, I need that pretty much every day. It is one of the Psalms that maybe David composed when he himself was out there, a shepherd of the sheep. Now, to hear and pray these words, we have to accept the fact that we are, after all, is said and done, sheep. You may react to that. I did the first time a great, renowned preacher told 1,000 of us, "You're all sheep." Well, like sheep, we can't see very far in front of us. Now, that's true. Who can see tomorrow? Who can see what's going to happen at the Super Bowl today? Who can see? We can't see very far ahead. Like sheep, we can get lost, all of us, take a wrong turn and wonder, how did I get here? Where am I? And we need help to get back where we need and want to be. And like sheep, oh boy, we require protection from predators, from evil, beyond our capacity. Well, I'm going to read Psalm 23 with the New King James Version. It's good to have more than one version of Scripture. I utilize a bunch of them. Why? Because every translation is, in fact, an interpretation. I'd spent 2 years translating a book of German theology and philosophy, and there were times I simply had to give interpretations because I could not bring the exact meaning across from German into English. Well, what I'm going to read was written in Hebrew. So, we'll do the best we can. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's got to be, as we'll see as we begin to pray it and let it speak to us and open to what it is saying, it's got to be the most perfect of all Psalms. I mean, in terms of the totality of what it says. It's also the most perfect Psalm, I have to say, for reading at funerals, which I have done many, many times. The Lord is my shepherd. Let me say now what the works of the... You could just stop there. What does a shepherd do for the sheep? A, these are not in the order of importance. A, the shepherd, he or she guides the sheep to where to eat, right? To fields, better... Okay, we got to cross over. Now we got to... Takes care of nourishment. Secondly, the shepherd protects. So first feeds, secondly protects against predators. Third, not just feeds you, but guides you in the right paths where you need to go. No, don't go over this way. There's going to be a cliff over there. No, I tell you, you need to go this way. As the scripture says, walk in this way. So who among us doesn't need a shepherd? Oh, Lord, as we'll see, I'm not going to be in want because you are my shepherd. And of course, Jesus tells us, I am the good shepherd. My sheep know my voice. My own know me. Let's let these words prayerfully sink in as we take a brief break for the weather. Okay, we're back. The Lord is my shepherd. Wow. You know, one of our biggest problems, pride. So, until we recognize our essential helplessness, meaning the fact that there are things out of our control, we're missing one of the major points. We don't have to be afraid because God is our shepherd. God will guide us across whatever we got to go through. God will make sure we have nourishment, sustenance, and God will protect us. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Wow. Gives us peace, plenty of green pastures, food for the soul. He leads me beside the still waters. Now, here's an example, the still waters. In Hebrew, because you can't just translate, it doesn't say still waters. It says the waters of Sabbath, Sabbath waters. That's telling us peace, rest. He leads me beside the still waters if I let God. So I can pray, God. You can pray right now as this prayer in the scripture. God, give me a place to lie down beside the waters of rest, peace, faith. He restores my soul. God has done that to me on more than one occasion, my friend. Has he done that to you? Who but God can restore our souls? That may be the passage that hits you and you pray, oh God, restore my soul. And then wait for God. Your soul, wait for the Lord, Psalm 27. Wait for the Lord, be strong. God will be there. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Okay, I love this passage. Now, what you can't see is the word paths in the Hebrew means ruts, like the ruts that wagon wheels make in muddy roads. In other words, God puts you and me in ruts of righteousness, so it's harder to go in the wrong way. God kind of will guide us if we let God. Why? Why? Because of who God is, for his name's sake. See, this whole thing is about God, not about us. We don't have to be perfect in order for God to love us. We don't have to be righteous in order for God to continue to guide us. God does what he does because of who God is. So you could say, as a parent, maybe you have, I don't know, to an errant child. Well, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to make sure there's food in your belly. I'm going to do these things because of who I am, because I love you. And I am faithful even if you are not. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. This has been a verse. Oh, let me complete the thought. It's been strong in my own life, especially in the military. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Wow. What happens is we've changed from third person, the Lord, to you, or thou, in the more intimate. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me. That sense of God's presence automatically reduces any fear. That may be what you need to hear today. That may be that passage that I have reminded myself of at times of fear. For thou art with me. Now it's intimate. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now the rod of God is God's power. The staff is God's direction. God will take care of you. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Maybe that's what's hitting you. Maybe just that sense of God surrounding and comforting you. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Okay. Did you know that You cannot eat and be afraid at the same time. You got the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous systems. When there's fear, good luck on eating. So the fact that the Lord is going to give us a feast, a table, in the presence of my enemy says, God is saying to you, do not fear. Here, sit down and eat. I'll take care of them. You relax. You have faith in me no matter what surrounds you. I will take care of you. That is the faith of a child. That is the faith that Jesus asks us to have. Wow. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. That is the meaning of Messias, Christos. It means anointed by God. God's love, God's spirit anoints us to the point of overflowing. If what? You got to sit there, right? You got to be still and know that God is God. You got to be open to the outpouring of God's love, agape love. The agape love of God, scripturally, is the love that overflows. God has so much, it just overflows. Take it, receive it. The final has been important to me too. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Wow. Every day. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Wow. Is that something you can pray? Not just pray, but live out of. As Psalm 23 attests, the Lord gives us rest, restores us, keeps us on the right path, protects us from enemies because of who God is, grants us peace and confidence even in the face of death and oppression, loves us overmuch, and will be with us unto eternal life. That's a great psalm to pray. Now note that the first sentence can be utilized as a breath prayer. And I've been talking about breath prayers the last few weeks. Breath prayer where you breathe in and breathe out. Normally you don't change your breath pattern. You sit with your in a comfortable straight back chair. Now I'm going to request as another way for you to pray this scripture is simply pray the first verse, breathe in, the Lord is my shepherd. And breathe out, I shall not want. Breathe in, the Lord is my shepherd. Breathe out, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Tell me that won't put you in a better place. This, my friends, is praying the scriptures. Well, let me look and see if there's one we can get, another one we can get more quickly. Our time, I've got others I'd like us to pray, so I guess we're going to maybe keep on doing this. So let's finish, at least today, I'm going to finish with, and by the way, this show, of course, is recorded, and it'll be on my website, DrHalGreen.com, DrHalGreen.com. It'll be on my website, DrHalGreen.com, today, and you will find there's a lot of stuff on my website, including 46 podcasts I've made, and short podcasts on how to pray, including how to pray the scriptures. So there's a little section on praying Psalm 23. If you would like to hear any of those podcasts, I certainly invite you to do such. Okay, here's the, I'll just give you a single verse. Revelation 3:20. For me, it's actually one of the most important verses in the Bible. Now, these are the words of the resurrected Christ, speaking specifically at this time to the church at Laodicea. But it speaks to each of us. Listen. I'm standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to you and eat with you and you with me. Wow. Well, needless to say, most of us have a problem listening, right? Seems to be something of an epidemic among the human species. I mean, really listening with our heart as well as our head. You know, we can take in surface stuff because we have surface stuff coming our way all the time. But to get the fuller, deeper message, which might be coming out, we have to stop what we're doing, open the door, and listen. Listen. I'm standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you, and you with me. So what, excuse me, what does the passage say, right? What is it saying? What is it saying to you right now, today, at this moment? What is it saying to you? What do you want to say to God? What does God want to say to you? Now, you know, prayer is a dialogue and it takes time. You can't just assume you throw some words up and that's it. No. This is the kind of thing that I've spent a lot of time at this verse. Listen. There's nothing more important than to stop and listen to God. Listen, listen. I'm standing at the door. The door where? The door of your soul. Knocking. I've done this in groups. I've seen amazing things, my friends. If you hear my voice, right? Jesus tells us as a good shepherd that his own know his voice. We all know the voice of Christ when he speaks to us. If you hear my voice and open the door, we have to open the door. The door opens from the inside. We have to consent to God's presence and action within us. If you open the door, I will come in to you. Read John 14:23. About those who love us, my Father and I will make a home with them, make a home in them. I will come in to you and eat with you, and you with me. Have communion in your heart, in your soul. Does that speak to you? There have been times I said no, but thank God I don't say no anymore. God's at the door of your heart. Listen. And please continue to listen to our show. Again, my website, drhalgreen.com. Have a wonderful week. And we'll pick it up again with more scriptures to pray next week.